All right, so I've been informed that being the last day of the year, some of you might want to put your tithe in today for tax reasons. So be aware of that. And Dave's going to come up and preach, so I'll just pray for him. Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for Dave and the godly example he is to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the well-deserved rest that you're going to give him, Lord, these next few months. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would give him clarity of mind as he speaks to us today, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring to life that which he has prepared, God. I just pray that you would also encourage and challenge us, Lord, as a body, that we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us, Lord, and we would have hearts that are willing to respond to what you want to say as well, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Well, good morning again. It's a privilege to look at God's Word together this morning, and it's a privilege to share what's on my heart today. About 3 weeks ago, Charlie and I were praying in the morning, as we have almost every day since he's been on staff for the last 5 weeks, and it's been a great blessing to meet with Charlie in the mornings. We drop off our kids at 8:30 at school, and then we come and we lock the door and turn off the phone and don't answer it again until about 9:30. So do leave a message on that answer machine. It actually works, and it gets listened to. But at one of those prayer times, we were praying, and I began writing notes for today's message. And I thought, yes, this is going to be the 31st. This is going to be the last Sunday of the year. And from that day to this, I don't feel like I completed the notes. And I feel like there's some gaping holes here. But I know that there's something in here that the Lord wants us to get a hold of about our everyday life. I put a title called Normal Christian Living. Normal Christian Living. Don't confuse it with Watchman Nee's book. It's not necessarily along the same lines. But normal Christian living, what is it like every day? I want us to think about the word normal, usual, the standard, the common, the routine, the ordinary, what you would expect, the everyday. Doesn't that just grab your attention? Doesn't it just make you want to leap for joy and anticipation? No, it's the normal. It's the usual. The things that grab our attention, the things that make us come to life, are the unexpected. We live in a world where we're always looking for the one of a kind. We're shopping for the outlandish. We're thinking about what is astonishing, interested in what is mysterious, what is unique, what is individual, what is unusual. But the common, the routine, the normal is where God meets us most of the time. In the center of the United States, in a state called Illinois, is a city whose name is actually Normal. Normal, Illinois. It's a state that you don't hear much about. It's not the gun pistol pack in Texas. It's not the upstate New York and the Ritz. It's not the big-hearted, arms open, y'all come for dinner, Alabama. It's just Illinois. And in the middle of Illinois is the city of Normal. And if you put in Normal, Illinois in your web browser, you can read up on what the town council has to say to you and welcomes you to their wonderful little town. Now, if you were to visit Normal, Illinois, you would just feel at home, you know, like you would expect of a normal town, like you would expect of a usual place. If you were to visit Normal, Illinois, it would not be breathtaking mountains or oceans. It would not be spectacular things. It would just be what you might expect. Nothing exotic. Simply an ordinary Midwest town. Normal. The Chamber of Commerce of Normal, Illinois, I doubt they've ever entered their city in the contest of who's the most livable city in the world. Of course it's livable. It's home. It's normal. It's our town. Why would you have to enter a contest to prove that you're a livable place? For many of us living in the big, exotic, breathtaking city of Vancouver, you actually might visit there and not think it was normal. It might feel like an alien planet to you. But it's actually normal. And for most of us, for all of us, every day we live normal life. Most of your time is spent doing the usual. Most of your days are passed settling into what you normally do each day. It includes a routine for you. Normal has a routine for some that is full of harmony and stability. Normal has a routine for others that are full of havoc and pandemonium. But it's normal for you. It's the usual, be it peaceful or be it not peaceful. It's where you spend most of your time. For most of us, today is not normal. This is Christmas break. Normal starts on January 2nd, or for the children, January 8th, or for Dave and Tina, April 1st. We're on holidays right now. This isn't normal. This is Christmas break. As Mark has talked about gluttony, I thought he erred scripturally a little bit, because the scripture would call it feasting. And it's a beautiful thing in Scripture that there's numerous times that God set aside for times of great feasting, not to be confused with gluttonous living, not to be part of your Weight Watchers program either, for that matter. God gives us vacations from all of those things. But be sure your sin will find you out. Into our normal world, for God so loved what we know is normal. For God so loved where you spend every day, that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. But start with the phrase, God actually loved this world. He made it. He created the heavens and the earth. He thought it wonderful if it be filled with his image, people like him. And even after man fell and sinned, and even after we live in a broken world like we have today, where things aren't like he originally created it, things aren't perfect, yet even then, God so loved this place and this people and what is normal each day of your life. I feel like God wants us to value the normal, not just the unusual. To find joy in each day, not just the weekend, not just Christmas break, not just summer vacation. There's many, many religions in the world. One of the things that I often notice about the so-called spiritual people that we're surrounded by is that they're often holding out an offer of escaping what is normal. The offer is there to take yourself into another mind, another sphere, another world, to find yourself free from this stress and to live in a space of harmony, ecstasy, love. If you buy and listen to their CDs, money will come to your family. If you can get into a different realm, you'll have feelings of love and joy And yet the experiences that these meditative states bring are shattered by something as simple as a baby diaper. Gone. Back to reality. Got to change the diaper. The harmony that is promised disappears with arthritis. Life doesn't have that harmony anymore. The money that we thought we saw coming in those grand visions, suddenly goes up in smoke when the automobile breaks down. Those wonderful feelings of love and another world of joy disappear when your boyfriend breaks up. So many opportunities to escape normal, to live in the desires of our heart. But Jesus is different. Christianity is very different. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God coming to normal in my life. God coming to embrace my broken normal life. God who in normal life, in the usual, in the ordinary, will never leave you and never forsake you. Not only the God who is found on a mountaintop or on a 3-month sabbatical, but the God who is found at the factory, who never leaves you in the office, who is with you when you're changing diapers. God who never forsakes you. The God who spoke out of nothing and created all that we experience and said, "It is good." This is our Father's world, and He loves this world, and He loves to see it work. He loves to see His creation actually work in the same way that the man who creates a motor likes to start it up and hear it work and know that he succeeded. He created it. He celebrates it. He's the one that made babies to make messy diapers. And thank God their systems are working. Imagine if it wasn't. He knows all about our broken world. And He came to it. He knows that our bodies in this broken state wear out like a tent. And thank God that we're not destined to live here forever in this place. We have an eternal hope. No more pain, no more mourning, no more troubles. Bodies that don't wear out. Jesus came into this world, into normal life. He wants us to embrace it and find all the promises that are yes and amen in normal life. To find what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven, Romans 14, is righteousness, peace, and joy. And there's a bird that's stuck in our auditorium. And he knows the sparrow when it falls. Wow. Well, we'll open a few doors for those of you listening to the tape later. There is a sparrow flying around here right now, and it's not a dove, or we would be excited. And somebody just said, "Sparrows are good." I can't believe it. But God made all things good. All right. Now, if you're able to concentrate from the abnormal situation we're having this morning. Is it out yet? Oh, there it is. All right, we're going to leave the bird. Those of you by the open windows are going to freeze. While Jesus embraces normal, we are surrounded by a world that doesn't. We are surrounded by those who have forgotten to just live normal. to enjoy, experience, look forward to, anticipate the next day, even Monday. No, we're surrounded by a world that has forgotten that. We're surrounded by those who are empty pleasure seekers, only looking for the next thrill, the next movie, the next electronic gadget, the next tour, the next travel, the next house, the next investment. We go to work with masses of people every day who are not working for their family, for provision, but only for the weekend. Working in the hopes of an extended holiday. Putting in time, marking the days, doing what one had to do so that real life can begin when I escape from this and have the weekend. So that real life can begin when I escape from this and after 10 years save up for Hawaii. But all of those 10 years missing day after day after day after day of joy. Missing day after day of just living the life of Christ. Because we're surrounded by those not working for their daily bread, but simply working for what they long for, a future pleasure. Thank God it's Friday, they say. Ugh, it's Monday, they say. And here in the land of opportunity, 40 or 50 hours a week is spent. It could be full of joy, but for many it's not. In fact, we disdain it so much that we say, leave work at home, work and home at home. Don't bring your work home with you. Are you kidding? 50 hours of my life every week I'm not going to share with my wife? That's where I put in the most of my life. More time than my wife ever has. More time than my children ever have. God values those days. God values your changing diapers. God values your work at the hospital. God values your work at the airport. God values your schoolwork in grade 10. God values your school time in kindergarten. Enjoy each day that He's given us. This is the normal. This is the place that Jesus came into. This is not the time that we simply endure while we wait for pleasure. The usual, the ordinary, the routine, the common, should not be attached to the word the boring. Boring is not the usual. Boring is when the usual gets repeated too many times. But the usual is not mundane. It's just normal. It's home. Enjoy with Jesus. We live in a world where because the normal is not valued, because that is familiar does not find joy, because selfishly we're looking for greener pastures, housewives find their chubby hubby as boring and normal. And they imagine that the construction worker across the street is the tall, handsome man of the romance novel. Husbands get tired of their bride, the bride of their youth, the one that God gave them. They imagine that the classy neighbor woman would have kept their interest and treated them with honor all the days of their life. But that's just the world. We are Christians. We are affected by this thinking. We fall prey to this thinking. Not only are the temptations that I've just mentioned real in our lives, but in addition, what we bring into our corporate life as a church. As Christians, we fall into the mentality that normal is not acceptable. Sunday morning, Wednesday night house group, my youth group, the friends I hang out with from the church, it's lost its excitement. If it hasn't been something new this week, it wasn't good. This is the mentality of the world. But the fact that 200 people can sit in a room together or join Sunday lunch afterwards or have a birthday party yesterday is not valued? That's valuable. That's precious. The fact that you stop by one another's homes, greet one another with a smile on your face, give your heart to one another, not just take from what the relationship can have for me, that's precious. Oh, it's normal in Christian living. It's supposed to be normal. The fact that when Susan has a baby, people are going to drop off meals is normal in Christian circles. And it's wonderful. It's precious. The fact that teenagers come in and elderly people greet them with a smile and sincerely want them in their lives, that's normal. That's every day in Christian lives. And it's precious and to be valued. But we run the risk of praying for miracles, praying for revival, remembering the revival we had in the 70s with Pastor Bob, and then thinking anything other is not precious. Only living towards that day when maybe God will do it again. Ah, take joy in today. It's wonderful. We can pray for revival, ask for spiritual gifts, ask for great awakenings, and fail to appreciate our daily bread that we were told to pray for. Lead us not into temptation that we were told to pray for. And how gracious is our Father who has lavished these gifts on us every day. How thankful I am that I don't wake up hungry. How thankful I am that I have a house that is warm, that I have clothes to wear. We are a blessed people. Don't take that for granted. Find joy in daily. He makes the sun come up. He makes the rain come. We look out at breathtaking mountains in Vancouver. What a beautiful world our Father has made. Sometimes we read the scriptures and we read through eyes that only see 1% and forget the 99% of normal. In the scriptures, we read about Moses, the most incredible, humble man of faith, the 1%. But we forget the thousands and thousands of faithful Israelites who followed the ark and the cloud and believed the man, even though they hadn't met or heard God face to face. The faithfulness required that when Achan sinned, it brought catastrophe upon the whole Israelite community because of one man's sin, regardless of what Moses and Joshua were doing. Someone living common life, normal life. We read the scriptures and we think of Deborah. We think of Esther, the queen. We think of their character. But for most common people, it was Ruth and Naomi. Just people that left town during a famine and married into another culture and then decided to come back after three of their loved ones had passed away. Normal life, broken life. That's where Jesus comes in and meets us. This is something that he values. He calls us to be faithful in the small things. To be faithful in the small things, and he entrusts us with greater things. He tells us to imitate Christ, who made himself nothing and became like a servant and washed people's feet. And spent his time giving up his own desires and ministering to sick people, hurting people, destitute people, spiritually bankrupt people. Jesus gave himself and loved not his own life, even unto death. This is the model that we're called to. And yet somehow we're tempted to read Scripture and only see Daniel or Joseph as a hero to become like someday, instead of a servant who gave everything. God has called us to live the kingdom today, to enjoy each day. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we don't value the everyday, we fall prey to the temptations of the enemy. Let me give you an example. Isaac had God's pick of a wife. Jacob had God's pick of a wife. Or some of you know the story of Andrew Micklefield and Ruth. What was her maiden name? Ruth Miners. Andrew Micklefield in Winnipeg, as a college student, had a best buddy who they prayed together for the university. And one day his best buddy came in and said, Andrew, last night I had a dream and I saw the woman that you're going to marry and her name is Ruth. Well, Andrew says, why don't you come to our college and career tonight and see if you see her? So they sit down. And in comes various people, and it was a big meeting. There's a lot of people there. Ruth walked through the doors, and as soon as she entered the doors, his friend went, that's her! He had never been in their church in his life. And they got married. And now they're living in Winnipeg, nearby, have a baby, have a family. You know, some people have those experiences. But 99% of the people, the Scripture simply says, hey, if you found a wife, it's a good thing, and you receive God's favor. Or, Paul's advice, very spiritual. If you got your eye on a woman, and you can't handle the temptation, get married. You don't believe me? Look it up. That was his advice in a nutshell. It's there. But if we don't understand the normal, and we only are waiting for Gabriel to come out of angel, heaven, for the angel Gabriel to come out of heaven with a big megaphone and say, you shall marry Ruth, then either we don't get married, or if we do, we always second guess, was it the right one? And when trouble comes along and temptation comes along and the enemy whispers in your ear and says, you made a mistake, you're susceptible to the enemy. But when you realize that that's not the usual, that's not the normal, and whoever God found is wonderful, whoever God's given you is awesome, created in his image, and he's called you to keep your covenant till death do us part. Even if it was a shotgun wedding. Even if it was because you were just bored one night and you were at a bar and you proposed and she said yes. And 5 years later you became a Christian. You look back on your life and you say, I wasn't a Christian, I made a mistake. You made a covenant for life. And an imitator of Christ keeps his covenant. And what you found is a wonderful thing. Somebody made in God's image who has now come to follow him. Or maybe they haven't. And what does Peter say? If you're in that situation where your spouse didn't come to follow Christ, Peter's advice was, you lay down your life and by your own actions, you show them what Jesus is like. So that you hope that someday they'll also come to this wonderful knowledge. But you keep your covenant. Because you've embraced the normal. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we have this encouragement to build our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He leaves us in the world, in the everyday, in the normal, and provides His divine nature that we might escape corruption in this life. God's encouraging us to embrace today and Monday and Tuesday, not just the weekend, not just summer holiday. Embrace today. He has given you everything that is needed for life and for godliness. He has given you everything that is needed to participate in divine nature, the life of Christ, at your office, the life of Christ on your sports team, the life of Christ in the hallway at school when all the other girls are gossiping, the life of Christ lived in that day. He's given you what you need. Think about the letters that Paul writes to the churches. How practical. How practical are all of those letters? Paul writes about normal life. He tells people who are slaves, maybe not quite the slavery we're thinking of, but not quite what we call just free employment either, but those who are slaves, how to deal with their masters, how to make God's word attractive in their normal day. How to make the testimony of Jesus seem like something that their employer might want. That's the advice of the Scripture to normal life. That's the embrace, not just of a Sunday night revival. Not just of a time when the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us and we know that we're in the third heavens. But a time when a slave is accountable to a different master who is not yet a Christian. How should we live in that day that we might have the kingdom of God at hand? That we might experience His righteousness, peace, and joy. The letters to the churches over and over are full of advice for family. Husbands, imitate Jesus. Lay down yourself. Live your life sacrificially for your wife. Wives, follow your husband's lead. Submit to him. Children, obey your parents. It's very, very practical. It's ordinary. It's not just about the extreme. It's not just about Daniel in the lion's den. It's not just about during persecution and Jim Elliot and others who have given their lives. It's about tomorrow. Titus. In Titus chapter 2, we read a whole series of instructions for how young men can live, how old men can live, how the church can live in everyday life. And then he sums up why is he saying these things. And he's writing to Titus. In verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared to all men. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." On and on and on. The good news of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, gives us the ability to say no to ungodliness. The good news of Jesus gives us the ability to live life to the full in the everyday. For the slave, for the young man, for the old man, for the student. Here's the point. If you and I embrace normal, common, everyday life, if you and I begin to find the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in changing the diapers, cooking the meals, changing the oil in the car, mowing the grass, going to the office, your summer vacation will still be a great highlight, but your working week will also be full of joy. Your courtship will still be filled with curiosity, anticipation, adventure, but your marriage will also be full of long-term security. If you embrace the everyday, that sweet newborn baby in the hospital will still be precious and as cute as ever. And your rebellious teenager, you'll still see the fingerprints of God in their life. If you embrace the everyday, the normal, find God's joy in it, then your normal friendships will be valued. The other ordinary people around you will be precious. And your old age will be filled with pleasant memories rather than disillusionment about what never came to be. You'll be among those who radiate the joy and the peace of Erica and Mavis, who this morning prayed, "Lord, thank you that your love is new every day, not just Sunday." I had to write that down, Erica. Thank you that your love is new every day and not just Sunday. And living that way gives you an old age that is precious. God bless you. I love you dearly. I'm so happy to be part of this church. And I look forward to seeing you in April.